Hello and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio, where we spotlight and highlight companies that do business in Gwinnett County and along with the men and women that lead them. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, and we are broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located in Duluth at Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place. Joining us on the show today is Stacy Dornbos with Accent Creative Group, a company that's going through some exciting changes, and we'll hear what those changes are. Plus, her company is responsible for some unique branding on several businesses here in Gwinnett, and we'll find out more about that. Also on the show today is Stephen Julian, a financial advisor based here in Gwinnett. And later on in the show, we'll meet with Chris Henley, who's with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau. But up first is Stacy Dornbos. You're the Director of Business Development with Accent Creative Group. Stacy, tell us a little bit about your company and some of the changes you're going through right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike. So we recently just became Accent Creative Group. We were formerly Accent South Media. We just kind of felt like it fit more the direction our company was going, the services that we offered. We started in 2004 as more of a custom publishing company. So Accent South Media made sense, kind of the media ad publication industry. But as kind of the agency side of our business and graphic design has grown, it just makes more sense for us to become Accent Creative Group to kind of talk about what all we do, what all we offer our clients, and the type of work that we're doing now.
So what do you do for your clients?
It kind of spans a very wide range of services that we offer. Obviously, we're kind of helping our clients in whatever way that we can, but lots of branding. We still do a lot of publications for our clients, but really it can span like Lake Lanier Islands for a resort, for example, is one of our clients. We do custom publishing for them, but we also have branded all the properties up there and named hotels even. I know Pam, even the owner of our company, even was helping pick out paint colors for painting the walls of certain properties at one point. So we're really become a partner with our clients. So it really, what we can offer and what we do for our clients kind of spans the full spectrum.
So you really do it all from A to
Z. Yes.
Who are some of your other clients? You mentioned Lake Lanier Islands.
Yeah, we're working with the new city of Peachtree Corners, which has been fun. We're kind of helping them with branding their new city and kind of finding a focus for them, hopefully working on a publication for them in the near future and working with them to help do their website and kind of brand their city, which is neat.
Let's say Steve and Julian's wife is owning a brownie baking company that she wants to get off the ground, and she calls you and says, "Stacy, I need some help. I need to get started." What do you do? Do you meet and have a consultation first and kind of figure out what the plan is? Walk us through how the steps here.
Yeah, we would probably have them come into our office. We have fun brainstorming sessions a lot of times with our clients where we have a big conference table and we sit. We're in a 1920s house right outside of downtown Lawrenceville. So it's a fun atmosphere, the tall ceilings and everything with an old house, which is neat. But we have people come in, sit around our big conference table. We have like candy and Play-Doh sitting out and just have a brainstorming, talk about their business, get to know them, get to know what exactly they want to do with their business, who they're targeting, what is their ideal customer, how are they reaching those people, how are they going to find out about them. So kind of learn more about them, and then from there we can kind of put together a plan in terms of the best ways to reach them and what their creative can look like and how they're going to speak to their ideal customer.
I've worked with some professional sports franchises in my previous life, and I've worked with ad agencies and other markets, and I've always been amazed because I try to come up with some kind of plan on my own, and I can't. And I meet with an agency or a company like yours, and the ideas they come up with are just, where do they think of these things? Where do you find the people that come up with these ideas, and how do you know you have the right person in the room? Because I'm just amazed. Like the Chick-fil-A campaign is phenomenal. How do these people come up with these ideas?
There's some very creative people in the world, for sure. We have some very, very gifted designers that work with us, won international and national awards for the branding work that they've done, which is awesome. I mean, they come up with things and we're like, wow, that looks awesome. So we're definitely grateful for the work that they can do.
Is there a particular client that you go after and work with, or are you pretty much open to working with any kind of business?
We really can work with whoever. I mean, we definitely target kind of trade and tourism just because we work with a lot of cities and we work with like Lake Lanier Islands Resort, and also waterfront at Lake Ocoee. So that's kind of the basis of businesses that we do a lot of work with. But at the same time, we work with technology companies. We work with startup companies that are just getting going. So it's really all over the board. If you want to make an impact on who you're trying to talk to and have a sound marketing plan, we would love to work with you.
Talking with Stacy with Accent Creative Group. And is there ever been a time where you've had the group around the table and you just cannot seem to come up with ideas? What is it that gets the brain going and the electrodes going and you start coming up with the ideas? It's almost like if you try to think too hard, you can't think of anything. You kind of need a break. So what do you do when you're kind of in that lull and you can't come up with any ideas?
We like to say we bring chocolate into the room and start eating candy, but I think it's just kind of throwing whatever out there. I mean, we definitely throw out some not so great ideas in the creative process, but at the same time that might spur an idea of someone else sitting around the table. So it's just the constant back and forth and throwing things. We cover the walls in sticky notes very often, just kind of to play around with ideas and see what works and move things around. It's definitely a process.
So it's kind of like when you're in a meeting with people and they say there's no stupid question. There's really no stupid idea because the wackier, maybe even the better.
Yes, very true.
What do you enjoy most about what you do there? Is that part of it, just the fun stuff? It sounds like a fun job.
It is. Yeah, it's very fun. I think it's just awesome to see clients get really excited about having a new website or having new marketing materials or rebranding their company and being really proud of now their company identity. Is just really neat to see and exciting to see how the results that they're getting when it's working. I mean, they're having new customers coming in and people are wanting to learn more about them and they're growing and having more sales. So I really enjoy that about
How does your company get your clients? I mean, do you just they call you on the phone, they see your website and they say, I need some help? Or do most companies out there don't realize they probably could use your help and they just don't realize it?
Everyone can use our help.
That's what I'm thinking.
Obviously it's through connections that we know we'll work with one company and then someone will come to that person and say, you know, I've seen like your new logo. It looks great. Who did it? So it's just a lot of connections and getting to know people and kind of networking seems to be the way of the world in business right now. But that's definitely true for how we're getting new clients and just meeting new people and getting new business.
Have you had talks with a potential client and you know they need your help, they need some marketing help, and they're just not quite getting it? And does that get frustrating and you want to ring? Come on. I mean, why don't you? I mean, we got some great ideas. I mean, I assume you can't like tell them the idea until that they're officially a client, or they might just kind of take your idea and run with it.
I think we put a lot of trust in the people that we work with. We're like, you could do that. It's a lot of times it helps to show the potential. And most of the time people are like, ooh, that looks a lot better. So we definitely do that probably more often than we should, but we're definitely open to kind of showing them what they really need, because it definitely helps move them along in the right direction.
Talk about Accent Creative Group, the new name, of course, but the company has been around in Gwinnett for years now. How did it get started?
Yeah, so it started in 2004. Pam started Accent Gwinnett, a publication, custom publication for Gwinnett. Driving through Gwinnett, you will see things that Accent Gwinnett, then Accent South Media, now Accent Creative Group have definitely been highly involved there. But it started as a custom publishing company. And the idea was that they were going to work on publications for a lot of cities in the area. Obviously, when the economy went downhill, that kind of hurt the publication industry overall. But at the same time, it was awesome because the agency side of our company was definitely growing. And that's kind of the reasoning behind the shift in our company name. But just more focus on design services and branding and marketing. Since 2004, started as custom publishing and just kind of grown from there.
You mentioned that you're now located in Lawrenceville, right there by the historic town square.
Yeah.
What are the plans as far as growth? Is Pam and yourself, are you looking to grow the business and maybe have offices within the region and then eventually maybe nationally? What are the plans 5 years from now?
I don't know if we ever want to get super big, just because I think our personal relationship with our clients and kind of the one-on-one contact, and we have people stop in all the time just to say hey and come in the house and sit down and talk with us for a little bit. So I think that's definitely something that's unique about our company, and that's not going to change. So I don't think we'll ever be super big. We even have an intern actually starting today. So we're definitely growing and just lots of projects going on, lots of deadlines. So We're looking to grow in the near future, for sure.
Okay, there's been a nonviolent coup, and I've taken over the brownie business now.
Hey!
I'm sorry, Stephen, but, you know, I just your wife wasn't doing the kind of job. I think I could take it to a new level.
Careful, Mike.
Okay, so I have the brownie company right now, and we're sitting down, and you just met me at a tennis event. And you're saying, Mike, here's what I do. Talk to me. Explain to me why I should be doing business with you.
Yeah, we definitely, because we want to help you grow. We want to help you increase your sales. So it's definitely an investment that will pay off because we're going to make you look good and attract new customers and increase your sales. So we want to work with you. It's definitely a partnership when we work with our clients and we want to see growth for you.
So I'll throw you on a spot right now. We may have a guy dressed up in a brownie outfit walking the streets. I mean, you just come up with some crazy, funny ideas.
Yeah.
That, I guess it's a matter of just, you know, something that's memorable.
Yes.
Because you can have the nicest, coolest logo, but people have to remember it. And I guess it's repetition as well.
Yes, very true. But something that's out of the box that people want to look at and talk to you and perks their interest is kind of what we're there to do.
So you've branded me. Now I have this really cool brownie logo now. We have a guy in a brownie outfit walking around Gwinnett County. Are you like a traditional ad agency as well that you'll help place maybe radio and TV advertising for the client?
We will. Yeah, we do that actually for Lake Lanier Islands Resorts. We do billboards. We do radio type things for them. So we're kind of, we can do the ad side too. We kind of emphasize the marketing design side, but we're there to kind of help our clients with whatever marketing and advertising needs that they have. So,
great. Upcoming events for your company. What are your plans in the short-term future?
Yeah, we're actually doing a ribbon cutting for Peachtree Corners for the new logo and the new city seal. And kind of they're opening their building as they're now operating as a new city, in the newest city in Georgia, which is exciting. So we're helping them plan that event. We do a lot of event planning. So as well. So we're kind of helping put that together and it's an exciting time for them. They're really proud of their logo. So, and we are excited to work on it.
Has there been a time where you've had like a great logo and everybody at your company loves it and you bring it to the client and they just, I don't like this.
Of course. You've had always.
To go back to the drawing board.
Yes. It happens all the time, but we try to, but this one looks really good. Kind of stir their, steer them a little bit for sure. But yeah, it happens. Everyone has their own opinion.
Do you stay in touch with the client after the work is done? Is there any kind of a follow-up, does, you know, a year or two later, say, you know, you're still liking things or does anything you need to be tweaked?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that we pride ourselves on, that we, our clients are long-term clients. We want to work with them as, I mean, forever. We're moving forward. So, which is definitely Lake Lanier Islands Resort. They've been, I mean, the work that we've done with them started in way back when. And they continue to come to us and lots of new exciting things going on there. So we just had a couple of meetings with them about some upcoming projects. But yeah, we like to keep clients long-term.
Well, Stacy, you sold me. So, my brownie company is coming your way.
Perfect.
For those other companies out there that want to use your services, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Pam, or your company?
Yeah, you can email me at stacy@accentsouthmedia.com or, you can check out our website at www.accentsouthmedia.com.
And that's part of the things you do as well, is you can help companies with their websites.
Yes, we can.
You can do it all.
We're redoing our website right now, so check that out soon.
Thanks, Stacy, so much for coming by on Gwinnett Business Today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, our next guest is the man who I just stole the brownie company from. He is a financial advisor, financial planner, Stephen Julian. Stephen, I'm sorry for getting off on the wrong foot there.
I don't know if I want to talk to you now, Mike.
Well, then it's going to be the next 10 minutes are going to be pretty quiet.
All right. Let's go.
Chris Henley's over here. I'll be happy to talk to Chris.
Well, okay. Let's talk.
Let's talk about financial planning.
Anything but brownies, okay?
Okay. Although we both love brownies.
That's true.
I'm jumping to conclusions. I have no idea if you like brownies, but we have sidetracked here. Financial planning. Because of what's happened in the economy the last couple of years, the whole housing market, people are unsure of things. Is this a good time to be a financial planner?
Hmm. Has something happened in the economy? Wow. It is the financial advising and financial planning industry is actually shrinking. They're projecting the numbers. I saw a stat in an article recently that they're projecting the numbers are going to reduce by about 5% per year on average for the next 3 years. So the answer to that is it might be not a good time to be in this industry. However, if you are in this industry to serve people and you're in this industry to help people reach their financial goals, then it's never a bad time, because everybody has finances and everybody has financial goals and everybody needs to have a financial plan. So there's plenty of business out there. But it's been tough, no question about it.
I think what people need to realize is everything's cyclical. That, I mean, there's good times and there's bad times, and they need to kind of ride the storm.
Yes. I think one of the things I heard early on in my career is that the most dangerous words around anyone's investments are "this time it's different." And one of the things I like to tell my clients, sometimes they don't want to hear this, but I think sometimes the best investors are not mathematicians. The best investors are historians. Peter Lynch, who ran Fidelity Magellan Fund for about 25 years, considered one of the greatest mutual fund managers of all time, said the same thing. He was a history major and said more historians need to be investors, because in 2008, when I was talking to clients and it was very bad, and in 2010, when they thought it was going to happen again, and in 2011, when, okay, now it's going to happen again, and now as we approach the fiscal cliff, I'm having the same conversations. It's not different. If you look back historically, we are kind of repeating very similar times to at least twice in our history when it comes to our investments in financial markets.
Yeah, the past is very important, because you can't predict the future, but you go by the past.
Correct. And the worst strategy is to do nothing. The worst strategy is also to overreact. I tell people that I try to be balanced in everything that I do in advising my clients, and I advise my clients to be balanced in their investments. The two worst things you can do are, on the one side, underreact and do nothing. Oh, I'm just going to let it ride. You need to be able to adjust. You need to be looking to make some changes. You need to pay attention to what's going on and possibly adjust some things based on what you see happening and what you think might happen. But I think the other side of that coin is you don't want to overreact. I just had a phone call this morning before coming over here with a client who said, you know, sell everything, and tried to talk him off the ledge a little bit. But at the end of the day, I serve the client, so I can do all the talking I want, but sometimes they don't take my advice.
That's a big key, is that people that may not be as versed in financial planning and how the market works, you see the stock market and you think, oh my God, all these people lost a lot of money. Mm. But the younger people that aren't ready, and that's true, a lot of people's portfolios, their value went down, and if you're about ready to retire, you are in a little bit of trouble. Mm. But if you're younger, you just wait it out, it's all just paper right now. Am I simplifying it too much?
Well,
am I showing my ignorance?
Well, I don't know about paper, but I would say that the people who got hurt the worst overreacted or didn't react at all. I tell people that I try to follow a very simple investment strategy, and I think everybody should follow a very simple investment strategy. One of the things my industry has done a great job of is confusing people. Because we find a good idea, and then maybe we don't go to the right advertising agency, but we find a good idea, and then everybody does the same thing, and then they flood the market with all kinds of products around one good idea, and then it gets to be confusing. I tell people the simplicity of investing, there really are only three types of investments. You can have an investment of cash, which is designed for protection. You can have an investment of income, which is to pay you, whether it's interest or dividends, a stream of income. And then you have investments that are centered around growth, which is designed to take the value of something and raise it over time. That's really all there is, those three types of investments. The problem comes when people get confused and people get focused just on one of those three things instead of all three of those things. So the people who didn't lose as much money had some cash and had some income coming in, so that even though the value of their stuff went down, they were still getting paid. And then the people that really did even better than everybody else was when things were down, as Warren Buffett said, when people are fearful, that's when you need to be greedy. And when people are greedy, that's when you need to be fearful.
We're speaking with Stephen Julian, financial advisor. And Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like people that come out of not just high school, but college these days, really don't have a good idea of what financing and planning and investing, really what to do with their money. It seemed like that would be a core class that everybody's required to take.
How much time do you have, Mike? I don't want to stand on a soapbox and rail, but I can't believe that. I find it hard to believe that people are graduating high school and sometimes college who don't know how to balance a checkbook. That they don't cover that in high school. They don't. I do a class with I've actually done it with high schoolers, and I've done it all the way through adults, and to see the light bulb go on when I explain that the average American household has somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 of credit card debt. That average credit card interest rate balance is 18%. So I do a simple math problem and say, if you have $10,000 of credit card debt at 18% interest, first of all, let's do the math. How much is that in interest? And so finally, sometimes takes a little time, people say $1,800. Okay, break that down per month. What is that? That's $150 a month. $150 of your cash flow. Here we go back to cash and cash flow of someone's financial planning. $150 of your cash flow is lost every month to nothing other than paying negative interest in your overall financial statement. And the light bulb goes off of, hey, my parents have that. Oh my goodness, that's a lot. And so then we talk about, okay, let's talk about a positive investment. If you can get, now 18% is very hard, but if you get 6% on $10,000 that you've saved, that's $600, 50 bucks a month, that's extra into your cash flow. So negative interest versus positive interest. If we just did that in our education system, the changes would be catastrophic, and we probably would have different opinions of what government is doing with our money, but I don't want to go down that road today.
Then we'd have a lot happier people.
I don't know about happier. They just would be better suited for struggles that come around the corner. Dave Ramsey said that, you know, one of the things he does with his clients is he tries to kick Murphy's Law to the curb. It's not a question of if there's going to be a financial crisis in your own personal life and in the economy as a whole. It's a question of when and how severe. And if you have cash, then you can kind of weather some storms. If you are living on credit cards already and then you lose your job, then they call and say, I got to liquidate my 401k, you know, and there's a 30% tax and blah, blah, blah. It starts to compound, and they say, oh, I wasn't expecting it. Well, you should have been expecting it. That's why you need a financial plan. That's why you need to keep it simple. And I'm not railing and I'm not judging, because trust me, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. It's how soon do you learn that lesson, and then what do you do in response to that?
You've already mentioned some problems that you've seen out there with some of your clients. What is maybe one of the biggest financial issues that your clients have?
I think that's a good one. I think it all starts with financial goals. Usually when people come and talk to me, they say, I want to get things in order. I want to get my financial house straight. I want to start something. There's usually a financial goal. Then what you need to do is kind of prioritize, because there's always more than one goal. And one of the things that all financial advisors do very well is show you what you need to be doing. So prioritize those goals, start on the ones you can start on, and then build over time. So when people come to me, the biggest need is they got to get their goal. First of all, they need to see if they have goals, verbalize those goals, and then start to prioritize those goals and start to work on them. Stacy talked about building relationships. Financial advising is all about relationships. I always chuckle when people say I went and talked to a planner and, you know, paid him a fee and he gave me a big plan. Pat him on the back. Good luck. You know, and most planners don't do that. They want to have that relationship. But it is, if you're working with a financial advisor, if you're not talking to them quarterly and you're not meeting with them at least a couple times a year, you know, kind of what are you paying for? What kind of services are you getting? They need to be making sure you're on track. They need to be. And the other thing is, everybody's goals change. You know, when
you have your first child or something.
First child, stuff we don't expect, whether it's a divorce, a separation, whether it's having children, having a child we weren't expecting. All of a sudden, my parents are now living with me. I mean, I sit down with clients all the time. Hey, I know we talked about this 2 years ago, but stuff has changed. Okay, now we need to adjust. What do we need to do? And one of the things I find that my client, one of the things I think also my industry has sometimes made a mistake of is we talk down to our clients. And this is just me making a judgment call. So not all of them, but I have sat with clients who will say, you know, I worked with this guy and just felt like he wasn't listening to me and he wasn't taking any time for me, and then kind of treated me like I was an idiot. A vast majority of my clients are a lot smarter than me. So the role I'm trying to fill, I find, is to, they just want to have a conversation with somebody. They want to say, this is what I was thinking. Does that make sense? And then I can fill in the gaps and I can add things that they weren't thinking of. They go, ooh, that's a good idea, or an investment idea that fits perfectly with what I'm trying to do. So listen to my clients, and then they just want somebody to talk it through and help them get a plan on paper and then move forward on it.
Just listening to you, Stephen, right now, you seem very passionate about what you do.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of comes out. You kind of have to pull it out a little bit.
I'm sorry.
A financial advisor with a sense of humor, too, which is nice. But it seems like you really love what you do, because I know you've done some church work in the past as well, and you've helped families, and you continue in that role now as a financial planner.
Yeah, my first life, to use your phrase, Mike, I worked in churches with teenagers as a youth pastor for 10 years, and then I found this career. I've always been interested in investments all the way back to high school. And it's funny, I make a joke about it, but there's got to be something trustworthy, I guess, because people have trusted me with their kids and their money. And it's interesting how both of those are valued for different reasons.
Have you ever followed up to see how those kids turned out?
Absolutely.
Okay. They weren't scarred or anything.
Oh, well, of course they were, but that's, statute of limitations have all passed and I'm okay.
I'm not sure if we're helping your business right now,
Call me at 555-1212. I think we're all in the service industry. I think the people that do best in sales and advising and is people who really show that they care about their clients, people who really care show that they want to build a relationship. I think that comes through, genuineness comes through. And, I don't think my clients entrusted me with their kids because I was better than everybody else. I think they saw that there were relationships being built, and I think that they saw that that I cared about them. It's funny, going back to that former career, kids who would talk to me later and would talk about an impact I had on their life, it was never something I said. It was never a big grand event, no offense to event planning, but it was a lunch that we had in their school cafeteria. It was the fact that I would pick them up and we'd go to Wendy's and grab a Frosty or something like that, which is probably why I'm overweight. But it was that kind of stuff. And I think I see it in financial advising. People don't appreciate, nobody ever talks about their mutual fund at a cocktail party. I think what they talk about when they talk about their advisor is they talk about, this is someone who cares. This is someone who's not right all the time. I always make this joke with my clients. My industry spends so much time trying to make it sound like we're never wrong. And the first rule of investing is you're not going to be right all the time, because it's not a mathematical formula that's been solved yet. And it never will be, because of emotions and things like that. So instead, I think what my clients appreciate is that I'm not right all the time, because I tell them if I were right all the time, I wouldn't have any clients. I would just do my own investments and become a trillionaire. But instead, what they appreciate is the process, what they appreciate is the relationship, and I think what they appreciate, I guess, might be the passion. Either that, or they just find it curious and funny and they need a light moment every once in a while.
Some people out there may think, working with a financial advisor, I got to have a lot of money. But that's really not the case. Just the average Joe, I guess. Everybody needs some help, whether you're making, two figures, three figures, six figures, eight figures.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And listen, I've said a couple of things about my industry. 98% of the people in my industry are good people. I have a lot of worthy competitors out there, and they're good people, and they want to do the best they can. So I'm not sitting here railing against my industry. I guess one of the things I would tell anybody, no matter how much money you have, even if, I kind of got down the investing road with a book a long time ago called Financial Freedom on $5 a Day. It was a little corny book I bought in a bookstore for $5. I don't even know if it's still in print, but it was brilliant, just talking about, you just got to start with something. And there are really good options for people who say, I can't afford to sit down with somebody. I think the first thing I would tell you is, hardly any financial advisors will actually charge you to sit down. So you, Stacy talked about kind of throwing the ideas out maybe before they've paid. My industry is very much the same way. We've got to earn a lot of trust. And so we throw it all out there and, hey, do you want to work with me or not? And it really doesn't cost that much to work with somebody. I love showing people what it's going to cost them. And they, 9 times out of 10, they go, is that it? And I tell them, I'm going to get paid over a long period of time, so it's in my best interest to do what's best for you up front. So it doesn't matter whether you have just $100 or $100,000. You can find somebody to sit down with. Just find somebody that you connect with. Be open and honest with them about what you have and don't have. And find the person who will say, I'm going to help you. Because if it is not enough money, a lot of guys will say, you know, a lot of people will say, well, that's not enough to help me. And they'll point you to a good source where you don't, you know, where it's no cost or whatever. There are some good websites out there, you know, shameless plug. I started with Scottrade when I used to do my own stuff. They're good people, you know, E-Trade. There's a lot of good resources out there. Just find what works for you and then find a good relationship and build on it.
You mentioned your competitors out there. Because there's so many financial products available online, what's going to stop somebody from saying, well, why does somebody even need an advisor when I can do it all myself online?
They can. I think that's, and that's one of the things, again, I think my industry sometimes is scared of saying, if somebody wants to, they can do everything themselves. They absolutely can. So what I found is there, but what I find is usually when they get to a certain amount of money, I think most people go, okay, I can do it myself. I just don't want to. Now's the time to talk to a professional. Now I want to make sure that I'm making the best decisions possible. So again, I go back to most of my clients that I have found, they just want to make sure they talk to somebody. They usually want the process. They want to, you know, hey, let's have a conversation about this. We'll talk about an individual stock. And about half the time I bring the ideas to my clients, half the time they bring the ideas to me. And I've never had a client go, hey, because I brought you the idea, I don't want you to charge me. They want to talk it through and they want to say, is this a good investment today? Is this a good investment right now? Is this what we need to do as part of our plan? So that's what they're paying for. But to answer your question, and I guess that might be part of why my industry is shrinking a little bit again, is you can do it all yourself. I just think a lot of people don't want to do it all themselves because I also have the story of people, yeah, I used to do it myself, and then 1999 happened, and that's why I'm here talking to you. So that's usually what happens.
Hey, Mike, can I ask Stephen a question?
Chris
hey,
Henley?
Would you say, in my former life, I was a personal trainer for a while, and
I need your services.
Working with people, it's not like you're telling them anything they don't know already.
Right.
It's simply a matter of accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, most people knew, if I burn off more calories than I bring in, I'm going to lose weight, right? Well, if you save more than what you spend, you're going to have more money in your pocket.
Right.
I can see where your line of work actually brings people into the standpoint of like, okay, now I've got someone holding me accountable. We've sat down, talked about my goals, talked about where I want to be.
Right.
Now I can't fake myself out like, oh, instead of, you know, putting this money away, you know, for my retirement, I'm going to drop it on a new Corvette or something like
right.
that. Now
right.
you've got somebody like, hey, Chris, what are you doing, man? We right. talked about this. Why are you buying a new Corvette? That type of stuff, the accountability, I could see where that would.
Correct. And then I've had those conversations. Hey, you told me you wanted me to call you once a month because you said if I don't call you, you're not going to put this money in your retirement plan as a business owner. Yeah, I know, but. And so then, okay, I know you said but, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, so I feel like sometimes, yes, I do have to play the role of veto. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and this is important, is I always tell my clients this too. At the end of the day, it's your money. I mean, I can give you all the advice in the world. And it was funny, Stacey, you were talking about bringing a logo. And then the client, yeah, but they hired you as the professional. And, you know, so they do that to me. And I'm sure they do that to all of us. You know, we say, this is such a great idea, and this is what you should do with your money. Eh, that's good, but I'm not going to do that. I am going to buy the Corvette. But at least I'm that one last voice. This is what you said you wanted to do, so don't come crying to me when you don't have enough money and you have to tell your kids you need to live with them. Now, they probably still will come crying to me, but yes, there is that level of accountability. And again, I think what they're paying for is the advice. What they're paying for is the relationship, and they've got to find somebody that they feel comfortable with.
And you can intermingle the word advisor and coach because you're really
sure.
a coach too.
Sure. Yeah. And that's, again, in the financial services industry, there are money coaches and there are financial advisors and there are financial planners and there are, I mean, we all have different titles. And by the way, that's a great thing you should ask. What do you do and why do you have that name instead of this name? And what does this designation mean? That's totally fair to ask that question. But yes, there is coaching involved. and you've come from a sports background, Mike, before you got into the brownie industry. The
which is doing well, by the way, thanks to Accent Creative Group.
So, some people, you should put that in a retirement plan. Some people are more coachable than others. And so some of the hardest things I've had to do, and we've all had to fire clients, and, you know, listen, what are you paying me for if you're not going to take my advice? So, yeah, there's definitely coaching, and there are hard conversations to have.
We've talked with you now for about 20 minutes, and we haven't even really talked about specific products. There's stocks, there's mutual funds. Is there, for the novice investor, is there one area where you steer them? Or I guess everybody's different.
Again, I'll go back to, I think there are three basic types of investments. There's investing in cash. I tell people, cash.
When you invest in cash, you're talking about putting it in a shoebox underneath your
savings, money mattress, market, things that are guaranteed to not go down in value. Then there are different types of income investments, fixed income investments, whether it's bonds or bond mutual funds. And then we're talking about variable income like dividends from stocks. And then we're talking about growth. There we are normally talking about stocks and stock mutual funds. And then we start getting into, there's ETFs and there's annuities and there's all these different kinds of products, and it can become very confusing. I don't steer anybody into any particular product. I steer people toward goals. And then I talk about how the different things we invest in are going to achieve those goals. And I talk about, I like to tell my clients that I don't want to put them in anything that they're tied down for years and years and years, unless they're willing to make that commitment. I always say in financial services and when it comes to financial products, the problems come when not everything is explained. And I have clients who are like, yeah, I don't want to go into all that explanation. I'm like, you need to hear all this explanation, even if I put you to sleep, because you need to know now so that you don't come back, and you need to be reminded so that I don't ever want my clients confused. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think some people only use certain products. Find out why. Is it because you can only sell certain types of products? That's a good question to ask. I think anybody should work with somebody that can sell anything to them.
And there's products out there where advisors and maybe the 2% that are not as good as others, but that they make more money selling that product.
Absolutely, absolutely. And by the way, that's a fair question. How do you get paid? And what are you going to get paid if I start working with you? Because there's a lot of flexibility for advisors, and it really is not that much. It's usually a small amount over a longer period of time. I think that's the best setup, because I think that speaks to relationalism. I think that fosters strong relationships.
I feel like we could talk forever, but we need to start wrapping it up.
Yeah, you don't want to talk to me.
We have Chris Henley over here. Chris had to actually get involved in your interview so he could talk a little bit. So we still got to talk with Chris.
Maybe you should give him a brownie.
No, I'm fascinated by the whole financial thing, to be honest.
You know, you talked about Dave Ramsey and his show. I think you're actually more interesting and more and funnier than Dave Ramsey.
Stop.
How do you get your clients? I mean, your company's website, things like that, and phone, and just word of mouth.
There's a lot of different ways. I think I do get people who call, kind of come off the street. A lot of it is networking. I think that's why shows like this exist, for networking and why you have networking groups. It really, usually what I found is, you have to get people to find a need, or you got to make people uncomfortable. One of my favorite sales lines was, do you know why you're invested in what you're invested in? And when was the last time you reviewed what you've been invested in? And usually what I would find is, yeah, I got a guy, but they never call me. You need to have them call you. So let's talk. That's usually, so asking an uncomfortable question usually makes them make a choice. Yes, I want to talk to you. No, don't ever bother me again. And then you can move on. But a lot of it is networking. A lot of it is word of mouth. A lot of my clients, oh yeah, I appreciate you calling. And so then I say, you know, I never want to be the slide the blank piece of paper, give me five names, but instead just, you know, say, if I've done a good job for you, the best way you can show me is give me an opportunity to talk to somebody you care about or somebody you know that needs to talk to somebody. So, and take it from there.
All right. So somebody out there looking for a good, honest, and funny financial advisor, how do they get in touch with you?
You know, I think the easiest way would just to be just put in my name, Stephen Julian, financial advisor, and you'll get my contact information.
And Julian, J-U-L-I-A-N.
Yes, sir.
And Stephen with the V, not the P-H thing.
Now, by the way, that little pitch, you know, hey, that's what you should do. If that's not the most open-ended thing for Accent Creative Group helping me, I don't know what is.
Stacey, I think we have a future client for you right next to you. All right, Stephen, as usual, very informative, very enjoyable, and we talked for over about 25 minutes and went by like that.
Well, I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Mike, you're such a great interviewer. Let's talk to Chris.
I'll let you have your brownie business back.
Thank you.
All right, Chris Henley is with the Atlantic Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Chris, thank you, first of all, for your patience.
No problem whatsoever, man. I'm learning stuff.
We all are. It's been wonderful. What is your role over there with the Convention and Visitors Bureau?
I'm the director of membership, and what all that entails is the ACVB, Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, really responsible for marketing Atlanta to conventioneers and tourists. And part of that we're a membership-based organization. So in that, being a member, you have access to the conventions that are coming to town, as well as if you're an attraction, restaurant, hotel, just the visitors in general that come to Atlanta. We actually have 39.7 million visitors come to Atlanta every year.
Wow.
That's just a couple here and there.
Now, the Gwinnett Convention and Visitors Bureau, actually, there's a tie in there.
Yeah, they are actually a member of the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, and you know, how we met Mike was while we were both working up here in Gwinnett. Now I'm downtown, but we have a very good relationship with Gwinnettians, and as well as the Gwinnett Convention and Visitors Bureau. And, you know, as events come to Atlanta, of that 39.7 million visitors, they can't all stay in downtown Atlanta. So the spread kind of works from concentric circles from downtown Atlanta out. Gwinnett has an awful lot to offer to people and to visitors, and so they make their way out here.
We talked about what you do, and of course you want to add members to the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, but the organization itself, you not only bring people here, but there are some major events you work with. Why don't you talk about some of the bigger events that Atlanta sees every year?
Well, I mean, there are just tons of events. I mean, to try to list them all, I'd be on as long as Stephen going on my soapbox of numbers of visitors we have coming to Atlanta. But
talk about the ones you're passionate about, Chris.
Well, all of them are very, very passionate about what we do. But, you know, this upcoming year, we're very excited. Some of the ones that I think people will see nationally and even worldwide are we have the NCAA Final Four coming to Atlanta this year. And we're extremely excited about that. That opens up the market of Atlanta to new people coming from new places and seeing what Atlanta has. So many people have an image of Atlanta back in 1996 from the Olympics. And if you do the math on that, that was not just last year. It was quite some time ago. So Atlanta's changed a lot. We have the world's largest aquarium, the world of Coca-Cola, new hotels, all types of new attractions for people to see. Atlanta's becoming a hotbed for movies and TVs, and then we actually have some members who actually focus on, they've made a business into Atlanta movie tours, and they're actually members of ours, and they take you to see where The Walking Dead's been filmed and lots of other movies that are being filmed. Matter of fact, we run a visitor center down in the Atlanta Underground, and I was walking down there. We're looking to try and do some remodeling and updating some stuff, and as I was walking down there, I saw signs on the telephone poles and posts and said, the gunfire you hear is simulated, it's not actually. And so I'm kind of looking around, and I get down to our visitor center, like, oh yeah, Ice-T's filming a movie right down here in the Underground. Like, well, I'm glad they put this on, because I'd have been the first person laying flat on the ground. Atlanta's a changing city and all the time, and we're excited to be a part of it. And in 2013 we'll be celebrating our 100th anniversary.
You have connections that you can get Stacy, Steven, and myself as zombies in The Walking Dead.
Hey, there are people in low places that we work with that you never know.
Steven would need a talking part, though.
When you have that.
And Mikey wouldn't need any makeup, so.
We're going to edit your part of the interview.
Sorry.
Your part of the interview will now no longer be online, by the way, other than this live portion. As a membership-based organization, who is the ideal member for you?
Anyone that's really interested in working more closely with hospitality industry, people within the hospitality industry, tourists, conventions. Really, you're looking at hotels, restaurants, attractions, transportation companies. Stacy, even advertising and PR companies, we work very closely with them. caterers, retail, anybody is going to be affected by people coming to Atlanta, and you want to be more involved. You know, a real good example would be, you know, people ask as a, you know, from a restaurant standpoint. We approach a lot of restaurants because Atlanta's become a food city. Mm-hmm. So a place for foodies to go, and they're like, well, they're already coming to Atlanta. Why would we need to be a member? Well, good point. You know, like Stephen was saying, a lot of these people can do their financial planning on their own. They don't really need our help. But, you know, there's good and then there's great. And the way I try to explain it to restaurant members is say, okay, you know, one weekend, and let's say you're located near Centennial Olympic Park, and your chef has done a eggplant parmesan special that is phenomenal. Well, if you've got 25 or 27,000 teenage girls in town for a cheerleading competition, pretty safe bet they're not going to be eating eggplant parmesan. So you've got a bunch of food that you spent money on and time, and you're not going to sell it. What you need to be looking at is catering your member your menu towards you know, teenage girls. You know, 8, 9, they're not eating eggplant parmesan. They want spaghetti, meatballs, lasagna, stuff like that. So we can help you do smarter business every day by just taking a look at who's coming into town and looking at the demographics.
What are some of the other benefits that you offer?
Membership benefits. I mean, there are so many things. We have networking events where every 2 months, and especially coming up this year in 2013, we usually do 5 a year. This year we're going to do 6. We call them Connect events, and they are true networking events. There's no program. There's not a bunch of speakers. It's actually come out. You know, the hospitality people, primarily friendly people, want to meet new people. It's ridiculously easy to get involved, meet more people in doing what they do. And if you are a little bit of a wallflower, you know, we even have a program called the Bureau Buddies. So when you get there, you get a badge and it says new member on it. These Bureau Buddies are going to take you by the arm, literally, because I came in, I just started working with the ACVB back in April, and our first Connect event, the Bureau Buddies took me by the arm and started introducing me to other members, potential members. That's what they do, and they do it because they enjoy it.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you actually were a personal trainer at one point. Mm-hmm. How did that lead you into the role of hospitality now?
Man, it is a long, crooked road, but I got here. I've always been a people person, and like Stephen was saying earlier, we're in the relationship business. What we do is not, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, you don't have to do a long string of math to figure out what we do. We introduce people to other people who can help you do more business. I've always loved doing the relationship thing, and I grew up in North Carolina, and I worked you know, several different jobs, and I was a personal trainer for quite a while, paid my way through school doing that, and I learned love that one-on-one relationship. You learn a lot about people. You know, people say, oh, my hairdresser, you know, learns a lot about me, that type of thing. I'm like, look, you see your hairdresser once every 6 weeks. I see you 3 times a week. I know more about you than a lot of times your spouse would. So from that, learning more about people, and actually got into professional sports and in the sports and entertainment industry, worked up at the Arena at Gwinnett Center, and continue to meet people, build relationships, and then with the Georgia Force, was the general manager with those guys, and Mike and I got to work together again, and enjoyed it, and again, relationships kind of how we are here today. That looked like it wasn't going to work out, so I had to figure out an exit strategy and actually met some people within the ACVB and sat down with my wife and talked about, you know, where I wanted to be long term. And I got to meet a guy who used to be with the ACVB, Jeremy Rubin, when I worked at Phillips Arena, and he just was so passionate about the city of Atlanta. And I've lived here since 2001 and call this place my home and thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, this is just a great city, so much to offer, and ended up coming to work with the ACVB and extremely happy.
Very cool. Steven, you and I were joking about eating brownies, not realizing there's a personal trainer here in the room, probably
yeah.
Cringing.
I'm feeling
that was a
guilty.
Long time ago, my man. That was a long time ago. But, you know, if you take a company like your brownie business, Mike, and trying to find out, hey, how can we get more involved with conventioners and tourists and things like that? You know, we have so many conventions that come to town that when they have a board of director, they want to give them a special gift or something like that. You know, we work with Sweetwater 420, several local companies that are specific to Atlanta. They want a taste of Atlanta. So, you know, your Georgia brownies, you know, we'll put them into a basket. And know what? Now you've opened up to the entire convention. And we have conventions that come into town that'll be you know, just meetings where you have 50 people to, you know, you have the Dragon Con that comes to town. And last year, I think we had 55,000 attendees come to that event. So the opportunities there are pretty much limitless.
Wow. The Brownie Company, just with the folks in this room, Stacy here with Accent Creative Group can help market it. You can help me get all my customers. Mm-hmm. And Stephen, once I make all the money, you can help me plan it and help me eat the brownies.
And take it back.
And then Chris will work us out again.
Can I ask a question? Going on with membership benefits, obviously you've talked a little bit about that, but you said something at the very beginning. I'm a little more curious if you can expand on it. So I'm a restaurateur or I'm a business owner down there. I've joined the joined the Visitors Bureau, and one of these conventions, obviously you can help me in my business to that. Are there benefits of attending some of these conventions or being able to reach out to some of my clients to offer discounts to conventions? Is that a benefit as well?
There are opportunities there. I mean, most conventions or larger conventions anyway have their client base that when they already come to Atlanta. However, you know, just knowing what some of them are and getting involved and being able to contact them and say, look, I think there's a natural connection between what I do and what your association is. I'd like to get a booth. You know, that's one of the attractions that when conventions come to Atlanta, they're looking for attendance, obviously, but they're also looking at vendor participation. And if you have a convention in, you know, X city in the middle of the United States that doesn't have a lot of access for highways and airport, you're not going to have as many vendors come. So as far as making a successful event, Atlanta has all those things. We've got, you know, three major interstates that run right through downtown Atlanta. We've got an airport that you know, is the world's busiest airport. Now we've added a very, very, you know, nice international. And that's another thing that conventions are starting to look at. They're starting to look at, okay, we've kind of maxed out on our, let's say, Southeast regional attendance for event. Let's start taking a look at the international side of things. Now they can fly into Atlanta just as easy as they could fly into, you know, another city within, let's say, Europe or Japan or wherever. Hmm. Getting to Atlanta is so much easier now. Hmm. So that whole picture, it all comes together, and that's what makes Atlanta so unbelievably attractive.
With the airport, the facilities here, you have a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. You have your hands in a lot of cookie jars. You're tied in with a lot of events. I mean, in sports-wise, you mentioned the Final Four. SEC mm-hmm. football championship is huge every year. I can imagine you must get phone calls, people wanting tickets to events and thinking that you just can open doors everywhere.
Well, luckily, it's not. When I was with the arena at Gwinnett Center, Hannah Montana came through, and I think Mike and I were talking about this earlier. The phone calls we got from people looking for tickets for that one
event.
People
we had never heard from in 15 years.
Yeah, I promise you I never. Governor Perdue, never spoken to him before or since, but I got a phone call from Governor Perdue at the time going, hey, my grandkids are looking for tickets. And so, you know, we made some arrangements. But downtown, luckily, we're not really in the event business. It's more of helping market it. So we don't get beat up with tickets too bad. But, you know, the Labor Day weekend, you know, you're talking about, you know, what a big event weekend that is. You've got the Dragon Con event. I've brought up like 55,000 folks. You've had two Chick-fil-A kickoff games, which were 140,000 people. And then, you know, several other events on top of that. You know, you've got downtown Atlanta packed to the gills. There are no hotel rooms to be had. So it expands out. So it helps the region in general. From that standpoint.
For folks who want to find out more about the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, where do they go?
You can go to atlanta.net. That's our primary website, which as far as getting information out about, you know, the city itself, or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at chendley, chendley, at atlanta.net, or you can always give me a call at 404-521-6625. We'd love to talk to you about ways we can get you involved with the people coming to Atlanta visiting.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for your time today.
No problem.
All right, I want to thank everybody for appearing on today's show. Stacy Dornbos with Accent Creative Group, financial advisor Stephen Julian, and, of course, Chris Henley with the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau. A reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10, and that our program can be heard several times a day, not only on here on our Gwinnett station, but all over the Business Radio X stations throughout Atlanta. And, of course, you can listen to any of the programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to Business Radio X. Until next time, this is Mike Salmon, and we'll see you soon right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.